Welcome back to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and the book is The Cancer Revolution, a groundbreaking program to reverse and prevent cancer. It's a comprehensive book. It even has a recipe section to help you on your way to a cancer preventive or cancer treatment diet. And it covers many facets of cancer treatment and prevention. So, Dr. Keneally, what are some of the supplements that are your favorite go-to supplements to support cancer patients? You mentioned in part one, intravenous curcumin. That's something relatively new, right? Curcumin in the past, you have to give it by mouth, but it's not that bioavailable. So intravenous curcumin, I guess, provides some advantages when you really want to load the patient with that anti-cancer nutrient.
All right. Well, curcumin has a duplicity. It can actually have so many different functions in taking care of the patient. It's, of course, anti-cancer because it regulates a particular inflammatory system in our body called the NF-kappa-B. So curcumin is beautifully anti-cancer, anti-inflammatory, anti-toxins, anti-fungal and antibiotic properties. It is beautiful. It has so many different properties. So if a patient, we do what we call nutrient sensitivity testing. So when we put the circulating tumor cells in, it tells us what supplements work. And if curcumin comes up high, then that would be something we would want to be doing IV. Now, obviously, they can take it orally, but as you mentioned, anything intravenously is 100% absorbed. As a opposed to orally, you absorb only 10% mm-hmm. through your mouth when you take in supplements. So anything you can do IV, like for example, vitamin C, is a beautiful treatment for all kinds of things, for your immune system, anti-cancer, for detoxification, immune support, and so we use that all the time. The other things, we do IV ozone. Mm-hmm. So you were talking about oxidative therapies. So IV ozone is a wonderful treatment for, ozone is a very, very potent form of, it's O3. And so it's a very, besides it increases oxygenation, detoxification, and it's immune stimulation. So when we breathe in oxygen, that's O2. But that's like completely different than ozone. Ozone's like a blue colored form of oxygen, and it's really what makes the sky blue. But it's composed of the three oxygen atoms instead of two. And so that makes it very supercharged. What is the first thing we all need is oxygen. After there's nothing more important because if we don't have oxygen for 4.5 minutes, well, cancer thrives in a low oxygen mm-hmm. environment. Mm-hmm. Otto Warburg got the Nobel Prize.
Right.
That cancer cells thrive and survive due to their anaerobic process of fermentation without oxygen. And so patients need extreme amounts of oxygen. So we do ozone, we do it IV, we do it rectally, and we also have patients do hyperbaric oxygen therapy. So we mm-hmm. really, really try to flood our patients with lots of oxygen any way we can get it. And ozone has been used all over the world. I mean, Cuba, that's one of their principal forms of treatment on a lot of things, is ozone. But it's used all over the world, Germany and Russia, everywhere. And now it's now coming to the United States as a wonderful treatment for patients for chronic infections, immune issues, detoxification, patients who have addictions to drugs, because it helps neutralize all those toxins and revive the cell. So there, you can use it in everything. Look at diabetics. Look at patients with stroke. Any illness is going to benefit from some kind of oxidative treatment like ozone. I don't know if you do ozone yourself in your clinic. But
yeah, actually, I was. I don't use it anymore, but I used it. I think I was one of the ozone pioneers in the 1980s. I traveled to Germany, and I spent some time investigating and studying ozone therapy with the Germans, who really are the originators of ozone therapy, and I felt it was quite promising. There's some issues in my state, in New York, with, should we say, the legality vis-a-vis medical administration of ozone, but I think the rules are becoming more open, and there's a greater acceptance of alternative therapies. So that's one of the reasons why there's a resurgence of interest in ozone. So coming back to supplements, because that's kind of news that our listeners can use if they're perhaps they're recovering from cancer. You know, we talk about primary prevention. We don't want you to get cancer in the first place. But once you get cancer and they tell you you're fine, you're cured, but then you look at the stats and they say you may have a 30% chance of recurrence. What are some of the supplements that people might invoke to reduce their likelihood of their cancer returning?
Well, one of them, I kind of put patients on core supplementation. So I put them on vitamin C every day. So I usually use a liposomal, which is a time-release liquid vitamin C. And vitamin C has many, many different properties. And so it's obviously, besides its nutrient, it is also immune-enhancing for the patient. I personally use 8,000 milligrams a day. Mm-hmm. And then vitamin D3 is critical, one of the most unbelievably underrated inexpensive nutrients in nature. And so it influences over 200 genes in the body, and so it can help with, you know, inhibiting cell growth and replication, and inhibits new tumor blood vessel growth, may even cause apoptosis, because it shows up on the cancer sensitivity testing I do. And then, but obviously it helps with the brain, bone, blood sugar, so many other things. And then I think it's very important that patients be on essential fatty acids. Remember, I talked about the fat, the fake fat in foods. Well, that gums up all your membranes, so then your membranes can't communicate, your cells can't talk to each other, and they can't protect the cell itself. So it's very important to have a beautiful intake of essential fatty acids. I know some people use fish oils, and I tend to use a vegetarian oil for that. I use something called parent essential oils. So it is a beautiful form of vegetarian form of walnuts and hazelnuts and sesame seeds. So you get the beauty of a whole array of different nutrients. And then the other thing I use is pancreatic enzymes. Now, Nick Gonzalez, I know, used that, and so did William Kelly. And if you look up the work of Professor John Beard, he also has a great why pancreatic enzymes are so mm-hmm. important.
Sort of strip away the protective layer around the cancers and mm-hmm. allow the proteolytic effects, but to be distinguished from the digestive enzymes that people take to digest protein. Those you take with food to help you break down the protein, but these are proteolytic enzymes.
You take away from food
because you want the food not to be.
You're stripping. You're stripping the cancer coating. Exactly.
Right. Okay.
That's exactly right. Yep. So you might need other enzymes for digestion because of aging, because of chemical interference, electrosmog interference. A lot of our digestive processes are being challenged today because of all the chemicals, the toxins, the food is not what it used to be. And then we have the GMO, and we have a whole lot of different unfavorable challenges that we're being living with right now.
Do you like mushrooms as immune or various types of mm-hmm. polysaccharide compounds?
Yes, I love mushrooms. I usually use a mushroom combo for patients for their immune system. Yes, in fact, one of our immune formulas, we call it the master immune formula. That's what it's made up of, is an array and combination of mushrooms. Now, I also will use something like coenzyme Q10. Now, because I measure it on every single person, I'm able to basically individualize every person's regimen based upon their profiles that they do in our office. There's so many anti-cancer supplements like artemisinin and garlic and quercetin and indole-3-carbinol and green tea and all of them have their magic. Every single one of them has their magic. And we talked about curcumin. Then there's Eziac tea. I talked about, I was reading the story of Renee Cassé over the weekend on her Eziac tea and how she really, really helped cancer patients many, many, you know, long time ago. Now, in today's world, we can't, I always tell people, there's not one magic bullet. There's many magic bullets, and you've got to use them all. Because the cancer of today is much more aggressive than cancer 30 and 40 years ago. I worked with Dr. Francisco Contreras. I don't know if you know him, but he is the medical director of Oasis of Hope, and he and I worked together for a while. And we talked about, and he's an oncological surgeon, but his father was the originator who basically started Oasis of Hope 50 plus years ago. And they used to kill cancer with B17. And he would say, well, you can't
pangamic acid.
You can't just use that today. He goes, the cancers are so aggressive that you've got to constantly be in front of it with every tool you can possibly utilize. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I always kind of use the analogy, Dr. Hoffman, is there's 100 holes in the roof, and you fix one, and the other one's pouring out, and then the other one, and on. And so you're constantly doing that, and you're going back to the first one you went to. So so the key thing is the cure for cancer is prevention. And I spend writing about that in my book. And so we do have tools today that we can prevent cancer, and that's kind of where we should be, is prevention of cancer.
That's always,
it's always best. It's only become popular, really. I didn't even learn about it, some of the things, until the last couple of years ago. So 5 years ago, I didn't have the test available that we have today. So now that we have that, we really need to let patients know that and utilize those tests. Of course, I know patients are always looking for things covered by their insurance. Well, and when you're practicing technologically advanced medicine, it takes 10 or 15 years for the insurance company to catch up. Yeah. So I always use the analogy of the cell phone. Do you use a cell phone that you had 30 years ago? No. We use the most technologically advanced because it helps us do all the things we need to do or want to do in our life today. So, but medicine hasn't moved in that same pace. So something that came out, let's say, last year, it's not going to be utilized for 10 or 15 more years. Well, patients don't have 10 or 15 years they want to live good life today. So we've got to teach them all the new things that you and I are learning and other doctors are learning and bring it to the public like we're doing right now.
Indeed.
And so, because prevention is priceless for everything. Okay. And I'm not just talking about cancer. It's heart disease too. So the top two killers are cancer and heart disease. And the third is, I think they say, is medications and doctors and hospitals. So
I think it's stroke and medications and doctors and hospitals. Dr. Keneally, we need to pause because we want, you know, while we've just been talking about supplements, one of our good sponsors wants to provide us with this message. So here goes. This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by the Zona Plus, an effective non-drug treatment for high blood pressure. It's a safe, easy way to lower your blood pressure naturally, and it's so effective it works for 9 in 10 people. The Zona Plus is a high-tech smart device that guides you through a patented therapy that's personalized to your unique physiology. To find out more, go to tryzona.com or call toll-free 888-408-6141. As a listener to Intelligent Medicine, you can get $50 off and free shipping. Just use the coupon code Hoffman at checkout. At tryzona.com. Okay, thanks for listening and thanks for supporting our sponsors. That's how these podcasts remain free of charge. Okay, back to The Cancer Revolution, a groundbreaking program to reverse and prevent cancer. That's the new book by today's guest, Dr. Lee Aaron Keneally, who has a center in Irvine, California, called the Cancer Center for Healing. And incidentally, what's the website for Cancer Center for Healing?
CancerCenterForHealing.com.
Okay. It's easy enough.
CancerCenterForHealing.com.
There are other aspects of this because your book's very comprehensive, and you talk about the role of exercise, or shall I say, I think a more all-inclusive term is movement, because, you know, we think of exercise as, you know, you got to work up a sweat and it's unpleasant and, you know, you got to be doing a triathlon or a marathon. That's not necessarily the case, and especially cancer patients may be limited with their energy and their movement, you know, maybe experiencing chemo or radiation side effects. So movement is the word, right?
That's right, and that's what it is. We have 800 muscles in our body, and we do need to move them. And, you know, everyone is saying that sitting is the new smoking, right? And so, but we have to move. And now today, people's lives are all sedentary because everything is very designed to sit and not move. And so I tell people now, so you have to create a new lifestyle for yourself. You very easily adapted to a sedentary existence, but that is not the way we are designed. We are designed for movement. There's just no question. We've got to move in order for our body to work. And in fact, you know, if anyone's ever taken care of a patient who is bedridden, they see that their body just deteriorates and deteriorates and deteriorates. Mm-hmm. And so we have to move to keep the body functions, to detoxify, to move the lymphatic system, to boost your immune system.
And part of it is also
to be turned on and working.
And part of it is also the oxygenation, because, you know, we can oxygenate through extraordinary means like using hyperbaric oxygen or ozone therapy or these types of interventions. But we can also oxygenate our bodies to a lesser extent, but on a more regular basis with exercise, you know, getting to those deep recesses of the body where the metabolism is anaerobic and where cancer might seek to gain a foothold.
Right. Absolutely. No. So any kind of movement. I tell people, let's say you work at a computer all day. So get up every hour on the hour and go walk for 5 minutes. First of all, you're going to be a more productive employee. And second of all, your eyes will work better. Your energy will be better. You will have better sleep because you did move. And so a lot of people complain about not being able to sleep. Well, they didn't move enough. If you moved enough, you would be sleepy to go to bed.
You'd be naturally exhausted.
And so, yeah, you'd be naturally exhausted and tired. Exactly. So but you brought up a good point about oxygenation. Yes, you're basically doing hyperbaric. If you're exercising, you're getting hyperbaric oxygen to your cells because that's the way, because if you notice how you're breathing in so rapidly when you're doing a good exercise program.
Another aspect of this, and this is a controversial aspect, is the role of stress and the role of mental attitude on cancer recovery. And I know it's controversial for a couple of reasons here. One is that, you know, stressful enough to have cancer, and then for people to think, oh my goodness, you know, I must have brought my cancer on because I was too vulnerable to stress and worry, so I crippled my immune system. That's a tough cross to bear for people who already are facing a challenging medical condition. So is stress a factor, and how can we put it into a positive context rather than make people feel like, oh my goodness, I'm a failure, I let my body succumb to cancer?
Right. Well, there's no question that stress plays a role, and I talk about this in my book, and I have learned from many, many different avenues about cancer and stress and cancer, and just the diagnosis alone is very, very horrible. So, if anyone looks up the work of Dr. Hammer, I don't know if you know, are you familiar with Dr. Hammer's work? Hammer was a German oncologist that got cancer himself, And he told me that, I learned from him and several, I learned many years ago, probably 15 plus years ago, they were giving a lecture. And I thought, wow, this is so fascinating. Well, I learned that a lot of, we undergo a tragic shock to the body. And then if it's not resolved, it'll manifest itself in cancer. And Dr. Hammer wrote the 5 biological laws of medicine. And so I find in my practice that patients will tell me why they got their cancer. So why are they telling me why they got their cancer? Patients know what's going on with them. And so I totally believe there's a stress component. Now, the University of Utah just did a study and published it in February that they did imaging that the diagnosis of cancer in and of itself is enough to cause stress. And if they have resolution of that not just resolution that they're well, but the resolution of the trauma of being diagnosed, that the patients, there's actually images on the PET imaging scan of your hippocampus that you're all back to normal. Whereas before, there's basically an inflammation in the parahippocampus with the stress. So this is groundbreaking work on how emotions and or stress affect and the resolution doing neuro-emotional techniques changes the anatomy of the body. So this is a whole new area and lots of work needs to go into it. So I know if you look at Dr. Hammer's work, the 5 biological laws of medicine, it's stunning. It's absolutely stunning. And so we always recommend our patients to get some kind of an emotional evaluation, because a lot of times we may not know why we have stress or what the stress is or the identifying stress. So I had a patient come in today, and I started seeing her several months ago, and she had already been right about a couple months before me, or a month before rather, before me, she had already gone to a doctor to get her breast examined, and they were going to do a mammogram and ultrasound and so forth. And so the patient actually had no breast. And so they laughed at her. This is what the patient told me. I can't imagine somebody, but I can possibly imagine, but they made fun of her that she didn't do something about it. And so anyway, she left it and came to see me. So when I examined her, she actually literally the breast had basically involuted in, and then her axilla, and I could see on the skin topically close to the axilla, which is the underarm area where it kind of just centralized and localized. So when I examined her, and I didn't, at the time I didn't say anything, I said, we really need to do some scans because I can see it's very, very taut. It's very tight, like a rope here.
So this is, be clear, this is untreated breast cancer. This wasn't post-mastectomy.
Completely untreated. She's right. She has never been to the doctor about it. No.
And I've seen some cases. I've seen some cases like this of people going, it's sometimes hard to believe. There's a level of denial, or there's a level of refusal to confront the situation.
Or refusal to, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what happened is she told me. So anyway, I worked her up and I got the CT scan and I told her she did a phone consult with me because she lives an hour and a half away. So we talked about it and I said, we got to come in. You've got to get a plan. I want you to stop any estrogen and I want you to get on an estrogen blocker right away and get off the estrogen. And I said, I need you to come in so we can explore all the options, because I didn't want to go over the phone because the patient's very, very scared of any treatment.
It's got to be a face-to-face meeting, yeah.
Right. So anyway, so she comes in and she says, Dr. Keneally, you're not going to believe how great I feel. And she goes, do you know my left arm used to swell? Now it doesn't swell. There's no swelling at all. And she goes, I completely can lift my arm up. And she goes, and the supplements you put me on, she goes, you wouldn't believe, I feel fantastic. So I go, okay, that's great. And I said, but we have, I said, I really want you to go see an oncologist.
Right.
I said, because this is going to require some more attention. And I, so we talked about that, and I talked to her about doing some other things, and I talked to her about detoxification, about getting a sauna and so forth. So I, and she goes, and I said, so I said, tell me, how is your life? She goes, oh, my life is fabulous. I have one son. I have three grandchildren. I have a wonderful partner. It's my life is wonderful. I build things. I build all these. She's a creative, artistic person. And so I said, that's beautiful. And I said, so tell me what you think happened about 10 years ago. And so she starts thinking and she goes, oh, well, that's when my mother died. And I said, well, what happened when your mother died? She goes, well, we got into a family fight. My brother, the house was given to me and he was given his own house, but he wanted my house too. And we got into a big fight. The brother turned the son against me, and it took him several years to resolve it. And I said, oh, and I said, well, is your brother still alive today? So you guys maybe can forgive each other. And she goes, no, he died 3 years ago in a motorcycle accident. And she has good relationships with her son now. They've all become close again. I said, but I don't think this is really completely resolved. So I asked her if we could do something called Evox. And so she agreed that she goes, you know what? I may still have some unresolved conflict because the thing I thought when he died is I didn't get a chance to forgive him.
Mm-hmm.
So there
certainly is a relationship between the brain and the immune system. It turns out that they may be contiguous, that hard to know where one leaves off and the other begins. So clearly there's a relationship.
Exactly.
And cancer sometimes is a great opening up for patients to address conflicts and unresolved issues in their life, which is good. Anyway, there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, that's fine. And it may, and I underline may, have a positive impact on cancer prognosis because we know the immune system is crippled when you have high levels of cortisol and stress hormones, and that's not a good thing for any kind of disease. Okay, so let's wrap up because we want to give our listeners today's Intelligent Medicine call to action. And what's that in relationship to the book? First of all, the book is available, The Cancer Revolution, a groundbreaking program to reverse and prevent cancer. It's got all the information we've talked about, and you can do a deep dive and unpack this information in great detail. What about your center? People can see you from all over the country, all over the world.
Right. I treat patients from all over the world. We do Skype calls, phone consults, in person, every kind of communication all over the world. My furthest patient, I think, is Abu Dhabi. Mm-hmm. And so patients come, and sometimes it's just guidance, and sometimes I work with their doctors wherever their doctors, their own integrative doctor is. And so everybody has their special expertise, and so I try to get patients to, one, completely understand the whole process of cancer, and that unraveling cancer from one cancer cell to tumor formations, 10 to 12 years, depending on the size. So I tell people, you just don't learn how to fix your cancer in a couple of visits. So I tell people it takes multiple steps. Health is a process, not an event. And so it takes multiple steps to get healthy. And so, but they've got to make a commitment and have clarity of where they're going and where they want to be.
Indeed. And what's the website once again?
Yeah, our websites are cancercenterforhealing.com. And then I also have patients who don't have cancer who just want to prevent cancer and be healthy, centerfornewmedicine.com. Or my last name, Keneally, KeneallyMD.com.
Mm-hmm. And that's in Irvine, California, just a short drive from the John Wayne Airport, which I'm very familiar with.
Oh, good. Well, we'd love to have you too, Dr. Hoffman.
It's the best airport in Southern California.
It is. It is. You're right.
It's a lot better than LAX, I can tell you that.
Okay. Oh, gosh. You are right.
Thank you so much for joining us, Dr. Keneally, and thanks for your pioneering work. You're obviously making a big contribution to the world of integrative medicine with your advanced thinking about cancer. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.